6-6-9-0-1. Let's go to the podium and hear from Auburn former head coach Gene Chizik. And I didn't get to ask him where he keeps his national championship ring. Maybe he'll mention that.
Finger.
Oh, yeah, but not today.
Then the downtown Rotary Club and the whole deal. But it's the excitement, and so there's probably some crossover in here somewhere with a lot of people. But the excitement of what football means in the South and the excitement for just being able to come and talk football to people, I love it. But the best thing that's happened to me today is I was able to shake a recruit's hand, and I don't care because the NCAA. Film it. Put it on film. Tweet it. Facebook it. It doesn't matter. So, that's been the highlight so far. But I got to tell you, Arkansas is a bittersweet. Let me tell you something. I came in last night. I went to a steakhouse. The people in this state have always been fantastic. I love the people in the state. But I got to be honest with you. This state, every time I come to this state, I get nervous. I mean, this literally out of all. Now, you got to remember all of the rivalries that I've been in my coaching career. I've been in the Texas OU. I've been in the Florida State. I've been in the Auburn, Alabama. I've been in the Texas A&M. I've been in all the. And there has never been a bigger thorn in my side than the Hogs. And I'm not kidding you, and I want to take you guys back. Some of you guys are going to remember this, but I'm going to go back. David and I talked about it last night on the ride over here. So I'm a brand new coordinator in the SEC. First year, 2002, so what, 11 years ago. So we open the season with USC. We go out there. They've got Carson Palmer. I think they go on to win it that whole year. But we have a very disappointing loss. We lose 24-17. We come back, you know, we kind of revamp. We get a couple wins. And we're getting ready to play Arkansas, and we have an off week. And so we have an off week, and I'm thinking, this is perfect timing. Okay, we've already played Mississippi State. We're 1-0 in the league. I'm the defensive coordinator. And so I'm watching film of Arkansas that week, and it's, you know, they look good. We have the off week. They got to go to Tennessee and play. Okay? So I'm watching this kind of gangly, tall-looking quarterback. He's looking pretty good, you know, I mean, but he's not jumping off the page at me like Cam Newton or somebody or Vince Young would. But he's looking pretty dang good, but, you know, and I see a couple running backs running around that look pretty decent too. And so anyway, the week goes on. I'm going to fast forward to pregame warm-up. So now we're playing at Auburn. Bobby Petrino's the offensive coordinator. I'm the defensive coordinator. And I'm watching this Arkansas team that just came off a 6-overtime loss to Tennessee. And I am licking my chops. I'm deciding what party I'm going to that night after the game. Am I going to the defensive line guy's house? Am I going? Where am I going? And I'm looking at this, and, you know, they look good. They commence to beat our brains out. I was just hoping that Greg Talley, when Fred Talley scored, he would hit his head on the goalpost and knock himself out. Because it really became the only way we could really stop these guys. Matter of fact, that became my nightmare. And so I'll never forget when the game ended. So I got to do the radio show after the game. So every week an assistant or the head coach, does it every week, but an assistant does it, you know, every third or fourth week. Well, I happen to get Arkansas. So we're sitting in there, and I'm coming down from the press box, and I'm getting it. What'd you do all week? Yeah, what'd you? Yeah, how many days did you practice? I mean, I'm getting the whole thing, and my wife's down there waiting on me, and I'm just getting killed coming back. So I get into the state trooper car, and we start going, and we're trying to get out of there. The radio station's 2 miles away, and, man, I'm in the car. My wife's looking at me like, what in the crap did you do all week? And so I can't even, my wife's tough on me, and so she's in the tank. I'm in the tank, and we're driving down, and so we got up to about 30 or 40 miles an hour. We're heading to the radio station. There's people on both sides of the road, five deep on both sides. And I said, you know what? I know everyone's upset. I said, you know what? I'm going to take this $100 bill and throw it out the window right now. I'm going to make somebody happy. Watch. So I did. I threw a $100 bill out the window coming out of the state. About nine guys jump up. They realize it's a $100 bill. I said, look back there. They're waving that $100 bill. And she says, you got two 50s? Throw those out and make two people happy. About that time, the state trooper looked at me and said, "Why don't you throw yourself out the window and make everybody happy?" So that was my start with Arkansas, okay? So 2003, I said, you know what? They were running up and down the field. Matter of fact, I thought I saw Greg or Fred Talley running when we were pulling up to the hotel yesterday.
Still running.
And so I said, that's never happening again. Okay, you can get me once. And they came in with a zone read and all this stuff that we really hadn't seen before. And Houston, they did a great job. So they just kick our butt. And I said, that's not happening again. I can tell you that right now. So in the summer, I said, that embarrassment will not happen again. So I go flicking through the media guide right now. And I said, all right, when are we playing them? How much time do I got? I'm gonna make sure this doesn't happen again. So I look down and I see the date we're going. We're playing in Fayetteville. And I'm looking at that. And I'm going, this can't be right. HC right next to our game? We're their stinking homecoming game. And I'm thinking, that's all because of me. I said, all right, I got something for that. So we come down to Fayetteville, and we win 10-3. Played a great defensive game. It was a knockdown dragout, but still, in the Arkansas games, you know that's what you're going to get. And I always try to tell our players that. So we're evening out a little bit. You know, Arkansas embarrassed me. We came in. We got a win. I'm not feeling too bad about Arkansas. Coming in 2004, win the Broyles Award. So I'm really starting to have this love fest with Arkansas, I think. I think we're getting back on the same page. 2005, come back to give the Broyles Award to my best buddy, Greg Davis, who I was now on staff with at Texas. And he was the offensive coordinator that won it. So we're really making some serious, serious strides with this. So, you know, I leave. I go become a head coach at Iowa State. Come back to Auburn. So it's 2009, so fast forward. So we're 5-0, and it's in Bobby's second year, and we're 5-0. We just had a big road win against Tennessee. We come in here, we're 5-0. The problem with that is that your players think they're better than they are. And I knew we weren't that good. You can't tell them that, but you know, you want them to have confidence, but they were just a little bit much for me. And I kept trying to tell them, let me tell y'all something. You go down to Arkansas, those people with all the hog heads wearing and all the deal right there, I said, that place is no joke now. This place is for real. And we had a couple Arkansas guys on the team, you know, we're like, yeah, you know what. So we get into the game. In the first half, we just lay an egg. We can't do a thing. I mean, we're 5-0. And we're dropping ball. Our receivers typically didn't drop balls. But if our quarterback on that day just happened to get one in the area, we were dropping them. I mean, it was sending it. So we're trying to make this significant run down before halftime to try to put some points on the board. Two major drops. And I'm just going, this is just one of those days. I got to get him to halftime. Just get him to halftime. Settle him down. So the half ends. I got to do a radio thing before we go in. The Auburn band kind of starts playing first out there. I do my radio thing, do a little bit of TV something. I'm walking to the locker room, and I'm just looking for a friend right now. I mean, because we're bad. And I look up, and there just happened to be, you know, our band was there. And I look up, and our baton twirler, you know, she throws the throws the deal up in the air, and, you know, it's coming down, and I got to kind of wait till, you know, she catches it or misses it or whatever it is. And she dropped it. And she kind of made eye contact. She's a little bit embarrassed. You know, I tried to look at her like, hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. So I get right to the tunnel. There's a guy hanging over the edge right now. He had a little beverage in his hand right here. Had a big hog head on. He says, hey, coach, apparently you coach a band too. Said, apparently you're right. But anyway, 2012, an abysmal year, obviously a very, very difficult year. And I'm gonna end up with the Arkansas stuff because I feel like I got set up by Arkansas. I really do. And I'm going to tell you why. So we just get done playing LSU. We got them beat at home. We're going to beat them. But we can't put the ball in the end zone at the end of the drive. We lose 12-10. But then we have another open date. Arkansas goes to Texas A&M, gets beat 58-10. So what do you think our crowd's thinking? Open week? I'm thinking, here we go again. See, because I know who they got on their team. I know they got Tyler Wilson. I know they got Niles Davis. I know that they got Jarius Wright. So I know that if they hit this thing right, we got a ball game. And so that's exactly what happened. And so we can't score. We get the ball in the red zone. It was just an abysmal night. Arkansas comes away with a win. And so a reporter asked me afterwards. He says, "Hey, what do you think's happened? How people have figured out how to keep you out of the end zone?" And I said, "Well, apparently they figured that all they got to do is give us the ball around the goal line, and we'll figure out a way not to get it in." And which is exactly what happened that whole night. But anyway, be that as it may, we trucked along. And what now? What now for me? And again, I'm going to get into some football. But 10 months ago, and this is how the game has changed, okay? 10 months ago, I got let go as the head coach at Auburn. And I'm going to give you a little bit of nothing that needs to be, it's not about me, but it's just kind of a microcosm of where college football has gone. So my first 3 years at Auburn, I was the winningest coach in the history of the school. I was the only coach that had won three consecutive bowl games, national championships since 1957. Okay, so it's all good. You go 3-9, and then five of the losses that we had were all 7-point games or less at the end. We lost to Clemson, who really turned out to be really good. We lost to LSU, really turned out to be good. And so the day of patience and tolerance is just gone. It's just gone. So they let go of another coach today at UConn. Obviously, we know what happened with Lane Kiffin yesterday. And whether that's good, bad, right, wrong, or indifference, it's just the way it is. And, people ask me all the time. Matter of fact, I was just doing a little bit of radio show before this. I understand the business. And, did I want another year to make sure that I could get it fixed? Yes. Did I feel great about the possibility of me getting it fixed because nobody knew it better than I did? Absolutely. But the reality of the business side of this is that's not the way it works. There was a coach last year named Ellis Johnson, who's now the defensive coordinator for Gus. He goes to Southern Miss in 1 year. He's there 10 months, and he gets fired. So it's just where college football is going. And so I really understand that. And what I try to tell people all the time, they say, "How do you live in Auburn?" And, I'm not bitter. I understand the business. And let me tell you what I've learned over my years of coaching, that and that's in anything, whatever you do, whatever your business is, whoever's, had some type of transgression against you or where you could be bitter, I'm going to tell you the reality of this, and this was told to me from a guy that I really respect. When you're bitter, everybody else moves on. They really do. For every coach that gets fired, if you stay bitter, you're the only one bitter, because everybody else moves on. That's the way it is in this day and age. So you got to understand the business. You got to understand the business side of it. People make business decisions. You don't have to agree with them. But if you decide to harvest that bitterness, it's just hurting you. And so I live in Auburn. My family lives in Auburn. I got twin daughters that are 15 or 16. They're going to be 16 here in a month. That's why I say that. My son is 13, and they're happy as they're as happy as can be. And the bottom line is that, when you get into this crazy profession and you move around your whole life, when we moved to Auburn, I told my kids, I said, this is it for us. I don't care how this ends. This is it for us. I will not move you until you graduate high school. So I don't know what that means for me moving forward. It may be that I commute. I don't know. You know what I mean? But I said what I said, and I mean what I say. And I want to tell you a little bit about my background, and I want to do it because I try to do this every time I do go speak. My father was a World War II vet. I come from a football family. My father played college football. And matter of fact, he was playing college football when World War II broke out. He stopped playing college football. He enlisted in the Marines, and he fought on Okinawa for 4 years. And for any of you guys that know what that means, obviously the battles of the South Pacific were some of the most bloodiest, horrendous battles that you and I can't even imagine. But I'm sure we've got somebody, dads, grandpas, people that do remember that. And I always bring that up when I talk, because I got a very, very high level of regard for everybody that puts their life on the line so that you can sit here today and listen to a guy like me speak, and I can come here and speak. And what I try to tell to my players all the time, and what I try to tell to all young people all the time, you got to remember that freedom wasn't free. And you got to remember that there was a lot of sacrifice and a lot of deaths and a lot of massacres so that we have what we have today. And I think that gets lost, especially with young people, the further they get more removed from that. So to everybody in here, that if we really did the tree and it branched out, there would be an aunt, an uncle, a son, a daughter, a friend, or somebody that fits that bill. So I do want to say, as the son of a former World War II Marine, that I am really, really proud of all of the people that do that so that we have that, what we have today. Because what we have today, we're not dodging bullets and bombs. We're doing this. And that came at a very, very steep price. So,
as Gene Sizek at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, Justin Akery here with Matt Harrison. Boy, fascinating stuff. And we're going to hear a little more from Coach coming up. We're going to have to take a time out, though. This final